Okay, Rabosai, we're here on Daf Lamed Beis, and we're up to about 15 lines down from the top, Omer Rav Sheshes. And you may remember that we have a machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes about the principle of Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichusa. Rav Sheshes takes that Chazaka very far, and he applies it even to Doraisa. So if you'd have an Isa Doraisa, and it would depend upon the shliach, you could rely on the shliach, that he would, you know, you don't know that the shliach did so, but you rely on the chazaka that he implemented his shlichus, and you could be matir and isa doraisa based on that chazaka. Rav Nachman says, no. That chazaka only works in one of two scenarios. Number one, on an isa drabanon, or number two, in a case of a chazaka that evolves from Bezdin, meaning that Bezdin was the one in charge, responsible to oversee, supervise the implementation of the shlichus. So, for example, Rav Nachman will claim that in the case of Chadash, and I want to know whether or not the Kohanim actually brought the Omer and its proper time on the 16th of Nisan so that I could eat my Tvuah Chadasha because it became Yashan. I don't know if the Kohanim actually did what they had to do in, as Shluchim, and they brought the Karban. Says Rav Nachman, the only reason I'm allowed to eat my Tvuah, which is an Isa Dereish of Chadash, and assume it's Yashan, is because the Bezdin of the Kohanim are sitting on top of the Kohanim, they're supervising them to guarantee that the Kohanim would have fulfilled their shlichus. In the absence of Bezdin, then Einach Chinami, if we were just to rely on the Kohanim as shluchim, that would not operate to allow me to eat the chadash, which is an Isa Doraisa, based on the chazaka. Whereas Rav Sheshes is saying, no, that even without the Bezdin, we would still rely on the Kohanim, because chazaka Shliach Ose Shlichusa. Now Rav Sheshes is going to try to find a different source for Chazaka Shliach Ose Shlichusa. So again, on a Daraisa level. Minah Minile, where do I know this from? The Sanya we learned in a Braisa. So we're talking about one of two ladies. It's either, and it matters not for our purposes, it's either a Yoledes or it's a Zava. And in both these cases, the Torah requires, in the process of Tara, so for example, Yoledes is Tmeya Tumas Leda, and now she wants to eat Kodshim or enter into the Migdash, so she needs, she's what's called a Mechusa Kapara. It's not enough that she was Toveles B'mikva, she also needs Ha Karbonos, which is called Shtei Torim or Shtei B'dayona. One is a chatos, one is a chatos, to be brought in the Migdash. The same is true of a zava. And all this is based on a parsha in Vayikra Tesvav. As long as the karban chatos wasn't brought, she's not allowed to eat kodshim, she's not allowed to go into the Migdash. Her tara is incomplete. So it means the Yemei Tara and Tvila passed already. In both cases here, Yoledes and a zava. And these are two out of the four cases called Mechusa Kapara, and the Hakrova, the Chatos, is Ma'akev Tarosam, as far as Iser Achilus Kodshim is concerned. The other cases are Zav and Mitzora, and all this is in the beginning of the second parak of Masechta Krisus. So what did a woman do when it was her time to bring the Ola and the Chatos? So we're going to learn a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ha'isha sheyesh oleha, which means she has upon her an obligation to bring Shtei Torim, one for an Ola, one for a Chatos. And why is that so? Leda, because she gave birth. Now, a Chatos Yoledes is always either a Tar or a Ben Yonah. And the Ola actually depends upon her financial situation. She normally would bring a Keves, which is a lamb, that's pretty expensive for the Karban Olah. But if she doesn't have that money, then she could bring these birds, these doves instead. And she'll have now two birds, one as an Olah, one as a Chatas. The Chatas itself is always a bird. And it's one of these two birds that are very similar. One is called a dove, the other I think is called a turtle dove. I don't know, the different types of doves, a Torah and a Benyon. So she'll bring one of those for Chatos, and in event that she cannot afford a Keves Liola, then she'll bring another one, a second Torah or a second Benyona, as a Karban Olah. So what does she do now? O Ziva, the same laws apply to a Zava. And although, again, the Zman has passed and the Tefillah was already done in the case of Yoledes and Zava, but now they need the Kaparas Karban of the Olah and the Chatas. Again, they're full sugyas and shas about whether or not one of the two would be sufficient or they're both ma'akiv. She comes to something that's called a shofar. Mevia ma'os v'nosenes b'shofar. Now, we shouldn't take the word shofar literally. Obviously, we're not blowing shofar here. But what we're talking, shofar is something that's wide on one side and narrow on the other side. So there was a kind of a box that was in that, it was a triangle kind of box. And it was very small on one end, just large enough to fit in most, that you could push in the most. And on the other side, which was on the Beis HaMikdash side, it was much wider. And this was a way of guaranteeing security that if somebody, you know, would want to put their hand inside in order to take out most that somebody else put in there, you weren't able to do that because the opening was so narrow. So in any event, she deposits these mos, which have the value of shtei torim or shnei bnei yona, into the shofar, into this box. And now the kohanim will pick up this money and they will buy these torim bnei yona on her behalf. It seems that she would write her name on the mos because there may have been another yoledis, and it's very important that that her mos for her karba will be received by the kohanim. Now this shofar was in the azara, and again it was a special shofar. There were many different tevos and boxes, but this one was unique in that it was shaped as a shofar, and there was a sign on it on the outside called kinim. And kina means, nests, so to speak, for birds. Now, in fact, they were all told in the Azara, this is Masechet Shkolim, 13 different kinds of boxes. And out of the 13, the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Shkolim, the third one was called kinim. That's the title that was written on it. You know, you add a sticker, that's called kinim. The whole Masechet about these kinim, if things get mixed up and so forth and so on. And the Chachamim say that the shofar on which was written kinim was the shofar into which was placed the damim, the coins, the value for Torim and Bnei Yona for Ola and Chatos. The Kohanim would use that money to buy half the money they used to buy Torim for Olos, and the other half of the sum they used to buy Torim for Chatos. Okay. There's another Shita there of Rabbi Yehuda. We can leave that out for our purposes right now. In any event, the woman would now take her mos, wrap them up, and place it into the shofar. Okay. V'toveles v'yocheles b'kodshim la'erev. Which means the following. As far as her purification process is concerned, so she needs tvila and herif shemesh. So after the tefillah, she goes down, the sun goes down, and she's got tefillah plus Harav Shemesh. But now the question is, were her karbanos actually brought? And it says here, Toveles, V'ocheles, B'kodshim, La'erev. So I understand Toveles, and I understand La'erev. Because I understand that her tevila was by day, and her shkia sachama is what clinches her tara, but yet she's a mechuseres kapar. She needs the shnei torim, the ol and the chatos, in order to permit her to eat kodshim. So why does it say ocheles b'kodshim? Says Rav Sheshes, we must assume that the kohanim did exactly what they were obligated to do. They took the monies in the shofar, they purchased torim, and they were makriv them on the korban. My timer, why should the zava or the oledes be allowed to eat kodshim immediately at the end of that day after the tevila? Why shouldn't we be choshesh that maybe the kohanim have not yet brought the karbonos? Lav mishum de amrinon. It must be that we assume and we rely on chazokah sheshliach oseh shlichuso. The kohanim for sure are the shluchim of those who are chayv to bring these karbonos, the yoledes or the zava, and they in fact fulfilled their shlichus and brought these karbonos. And now we're dealing with the din doraisa, because if the yoledes, even after tevila and harif shemesh, were to eat from kodshim before her kapara was brought, that would be a violation of an isur kares. Because as far as achilas kodshim is concerned, she has no tara. Her tara is postponed until the kapara is brought. So we're clearly dealing with a doraisa over here. Now we can almost guess and write the text of the Gemara without looking. Rav Nachman, how is he going to counter against this raya? Hosam, kid Rav Shmaya, diom Rav Shmaya, chazoka shein bezdin shel kohanim, omdu misham at sheyichlu kol amol shebashofar. That the kohanim are supervised by the bezdin shel kohanim, and they're not going to walk out this bezdin, they're not going to check out of the azara until, you know, they check the shofar, to make sure that there are no mos left in the shofar. And Rav Nachman agrees, as we discussed yesterday with regard to the carbon of the shteil lechem, or the carbon of the omer, that when we're relying on the bezdin, that's a whole different story. That's not a din of shlichus. That's a din that bezdin are reliable, and that's their responsibility to supervise. But if he had a shliach stam, meaning a shliach that wasn't supervised by a bezdin, then on a din Torah level, we cannot be somech, we cannot be secure and calm that the shliach in fact fulfilled his shlichus. I'm not sure exactly why Rav Sheshes thought that he had a proof. Once Rav Sheshes admitted that the case of the Karban HaOmer was not approved because the Bezdin Shel Kohanim, why did Rav Sheshes think that from the case of the Zav and the Zav of the Kinim, that would be approved? Was he unaware of Rav Shmaya that the Bezdin Shel Kohanim would make sure that the shofar was empty? He didn't know that? Is there any debate about that? In any event, there's a tosus here, Dibri HaMaskel Rav Sheshes, a very long, complicated tosus. I just want to mention that he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, and he says the following. I have a summary here of Rabbeinu Tam. I'll read to you what he says. He says, Ha'im mi divrei Rav Shmaya nitan lochiach shu sover kedas Rav Nachman, meaning, shall we assume that according to Rav Sheshes, Enochinami, we rely on the Kohanim, even in the absence of a Bezdin? The reason why Rav Shmaya insists that there was a Beis Din to supervise the Kohanim is because Rav Shmaya holds like Rav Nachman that the Chazaka to rely on the Shliach is not valid in a Doraisa, and therefore we must by definition have the supervision of the Beis Din. So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that from the fact that Rav Shmaya had to introduce that the reason why that what underlies this chazok, the chazok is not floating in midair, it's standing on a very solid base, and that's the Beis Din, we should see from Rav Shmaya that Kirav Nachman, that he holds like Shliach ain't somchen olav, that we don't rely on a Shliach, and therefore we must have a Beis Din. So Rabbeinu Tam takes this logic to its conclusion, and he says that Rav Shmaya comes like Ke'ilu after Rav Nachman. I don't mean that, you know, historically, but what I mean is that he's based on the Svar of Rav Nachman, and that is that we're not Somech on the Shliach, that he will fulfill his Shlichus. Hence, we must introduce Beis Din Shel Kohen. That's Rabbeinu Tam. And the reason why the Gemara doesn't ask a kasha on Rav Sheshes from Rav Shmaya is because Rav Shmaya is an Amora, and he's no more authoritative than Rav Sheshes himself. So Rav Sheshes has the right to disagree with Rav Shmaya and say, we don't need a Beis Din here, we can rely on the Shliach, on the Kohen. That's Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri writes in Tosfos that Rav Shmaya is not commenting on this Braisa. When the Braisa says that she can eat Kodshim, and we thought that Rav Shmaya was making a comment, that's because the Beis Din Shel Kohanim are there to supervise. No. This statement of Rav Shmaya was a Korban Pesach statement. And that's a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, in which Rav is quoted as saying, "Ein chshochtin karben Pesach al tomei sheretz mipnei shadayin tzarchu litbol v'al mechusar kapora shochtim karben Pesach." So that the question is the following. The mitzvah of Shechitas Korban Pesach is connected to the mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach. Therefore, only someone who is tar and can eat from the meat of the Korban Pesach, we're going to shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf. And Rav says in Masechet Pesachim that if, for example, one of the members of the group is a Tomei Sheretz, we will not shecht the Korban Pesach. And yet, paradoxically, Rav says that if you have a mechusar kapara, we will shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf. How is that possible? So on that, Rav Shmaya is making a comment that the case is that Mosar Korbanosov, he already gave his korbanos over to the Kohanim. Let's say he was a Zav or a Mitzora, and now he wants to eat from the Korban Pesach. He wants to be Matar himself from Tumas Ziva or Tumas Tzoras. He already handed over his korbanos to the Kohanim. Says Rav Shmaya, now we can shecht the Korban Pesach, even though we have no certain knowledge, no testimony that these korbanos of the Zav or the Mitzor were actually in fact brought, so we don't know what his status is. Is he purified? Is he not? Says Rav Shmaya, what Rav had in mind in Masechet Pesachim is Efshar Lismoch al Beis Din Shel Kohanim Sheakrivu es HaKorban Bioso Ayom. We can rely on the Beis Din of Kohanim, and that they will supervise and guarantee that the Kohanim will be makriv the Korban on that day. Al zeh omer Rav Shmaya, Tama Dover, why can we shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of this Mechusa Kapara? Mibnesha Somchmala Bezd. And says the Re, the Gemara there quotes Rav and Divrei Rabbi Shmaya. So it would seem from the text of the Gemara, so says the Re, that Rav Shmaya was actually being brought by Rav as a support for Rav's statement that we can shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of the Mechusa Kapora in the case where he's already brought his Korbanos, you know, his Ola and his Chatos to the Kohanim. He's already passed them on to the Kohanim. And here's where Rav says to Levaseis et Tvarav, you know, to give him substance, I will invoke Rabbi Shmaya, because Rabbi Shmaya says that there's a Bezdin Shel Kohanim that oversees and supervises the Kohanim. So it means the following. If, as far as Shechitas Korban Pesach is concerned, and we're shechting the Korban Pesach on behalf of Mechusar Kapora, then why are we doing so when we don't know for sure that the Shliach, meaning the Kohen, fulfilled his Shlichus? And the answer has to be because we're relying on the Bezdin. That's the way the Re understands how Rav Shmaya is a support for Rav in terms of shechting the Korban Pesach on behalf of Mechusa Kapara, who has already brought his Korban to the Beis HaMikdash. And if that be the case, now here's the part of Tosis that I have a problem with. Tosis says that therefore we would not be able to ask a kasha from Rav Shmaya on Rav Sheshes, right? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, Enochinami, Rav Shmaya is against Rav Sheshes and supports Rav Nachman. And the reason why she can eat from Kodshim is because she relies on the Bezdin Shel Kohanim. But on the Kohanim themselves, she could not rely, as Rabbeinu Tam, that basically the Gemara is implying a kasha on Rav Sheshes from Rav Shmaya. But the only thing is, Rav Shmaya is not the Braisa itself, and therefore the Gemara has no objection. But Enochinami, there's no question, says Rabbeinu Tam, that Rav Shmaya would support Rav Nachman against Rav Sheshes. And in the absence of a Bezdin, we could not allow her, we will not allow her, to rely on the Kohanim and let her eat Kodesh. Okay, now, the Re adds the following element into the equation, that the statement of Rav Shmaya was addended to the statement of Rav in an entire different context. We're not talking about a Zava or Yoledis. We're talking about Korban Pesach, Shechitas Korban Pesach. So how is this different than Rabbeinu Tam? Ah, that maybe in Korban Pesach there's a different din, that we want to shech the Korban Pesach. Just something is coming in, maybe. What the Re means to say, Omeri de mikomakom ein raya l'Rav Sheshes, the Rav Sheshes nami lesle chazok eshlichos yishek b'mokom shim lo yas eshlichuso yovam shalech lidei avera miso alokach. Okay. Oh, Uderav Shmaya Nami Ikal Meimar Delo Omar Kidei Lita Tablam Somcha Al Kohen Eliashiv Divrei Rav. The Omer Perka Isha Ein Shochtin V'Zorkin Al Tomi Sheretz. Again, there's one line here in Tosus which I can't decipher. I mean, this is the punchline of the Ri. He says, "Do you see where it says the lo Omar kidei litein tam loma somchim ala kohen?" If you can underline that line and just see if you can. Again, that's the punchline here. That line. He's saying that if we shift Rav Shmaya from our sugya of Yoledes and Zava to the sugya of Rav in Shchitas HaPesach, then we would come to the conclusion that Rav Shmaya is not telling us an explanation as to why we rely on the Kohen. If he were telling me that explanation, then we're back to Rabbeinu Tam, which would mean that Rav Shmaya is holding like Rav Nachman. So let me just try to take... I had an idea here. I don't want to belabor this too much because it's just an idea that crossed my mind. That question is... Rav Mishayah says that we rely on Beis Din, and that's going to support Rav as to why we shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of Mechusar Kapara. It means that in the case of Korban Pesach, we're not going to rely on the Chazakah. We need the Beis Din, and that's not against Rav Sheshes. Why? Because when is the Korban Pesach? Just 1 second. You see, I'm just trying to... Again, I apologize. There's one piece of the puzzle I'm missing here. If you can bear with me, there's the Shechita HaPesach, and then there's the Achila HaPesach. The Shechita is during the day, and the Achila is at night. The Achila HaBosu B'Layla is there. So now the question is, the Karban has to be brought during the day, and the Achila is at night. So can we shech the Korban Pesach? Again, the Tara is going to have to wait till nightfall. So in any event, we have to wait till nightfall. Now we want to know if the Korban was shechted, meaning the Mechusa Kapara, and that would allow us to shech the Korban Pesach. So in this case, we even Rav Sheshes would agree that we cannot rely on the Kohen. Why? Because since the Kohenim, what was going on here? The Kohenim
could take place after the Shechita. That's the problem.
So that's what I'm thinking, that since there are two karbanos here that are sort of interdependent in some sense, in the case of Mechusa Kapara. Number one is his chatas and ola, right, his kapara. And that, number two, will facilitate, if he brought that karban, the shechita, the Korban Pesach, on his behalf, right? So why don't we rely on the kohenim here? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Kohanim have all day to do it.
Ah.
By Yoledet and Azov and Azova, they have all day to do it. By the end of the day, everything's okay. But
right.
Here, the Shechita may take place before that.
And
if the Shechita takes place before that, then the Mechusa Kapara doesn't help.
So in other words, when does Rav Sheshes rely on the Kohanim? That's when we give the Kohanim the full day. But here the Shechita is taking place, let's say, Chatzos Hayom, right, whenever it is, in the middle of the day, and that's the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. Who says that the Kohanim was such zrizim, you know, they were so meticulous that they would have guaranteed that the Mechusa Kapara's Karbon was brought before the Shechita of the Korban Pesach? Okay.
Right.
Maybe that's what's going on.
The Chazaka of Rav Sheshes is only... during the Indian...
Right, the entire... encompasses the whole day. Good, because again, you know, it's very strange. Tosis just makes a statement here, and this is the breakthrough of the Re, you know, the Rabbeinu Tam is really pushing us against the wall, and he's saying that Rav Shmaya is basically a support for Rav Nachman, that we don't rely on Kohanim, we don't rely on the Chazaka. But that doesn't upslug Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes is entitled to his opinion. Comes along the Re, and Tosa says that according to the Re, the Re's chiddush is that when Rav Masharsha introduces the Beis Din Shel Kohanim, Lo Omar, he wasn't saying Kedei Litein Tam Lama Somchin Ala Kohanim. Right? We cannot rely on the Kohanim, which would be Rav Nachman's approach, and therefore we have to introduce Beis. No, Lo Amar, says the Re. Meaning the Re is trying to reconcile Rav Shmaya with Rav Sheshes. And even Rav Sheshes would agree in this case that we're not relying on the Kohen, and we need the Beis Din here. Why do we need that extra, you know, reliability, so to speak, of Beis Din above and beyond the Kohen, as Shluchim, even according to Rav Sheshes? And Tosis doesn't spell it out, but maybe... since the Re has shifted Rav Shmaya over to Korban Pesach as opposed to our Gemara, we could say that the time of the Shechita, in the case of Korban Pesach, might have preempted the Korban Chatas and Ola of the Zav or the Mitzorah, and then we're in deep trouble, because we need a time, right? We have to link up the Achilas, we have to link up the Shechitas of Pesach with the Achilas of Pesach. So that means the Shechita has to be implemented on behalf of Gavra, who's Roy Lachila, and maybe the Kohanim are a wonderful Shluchim, but as far as the parameters of their Shlichus, they have the entire day to fulfill that mandate, and there's no reason to assume that they'll make sure that was done, right? So the different Kohanim, right? You have branches of Kohanim. You have branches of Kohanim bringing the regular daily Karbonos, Karbon Tamid, and you have the other Karbonos that people are giving Karbonos here and there, and you have Mechusa Kapar, they bring all the Chatas. You have a ton of Karbonos that happen to be, you know, required to be brought on the 14th of Nisan. That's when it fell out. Then you have a bunch of Kohanim who are in charge of the Shechitas HaPesach, right? The Mishnah says that the Azor was full of dam up to the knees. I mean, there's so many Korbanos Pesach. But here you have a kunz. You have to make sure that the Kohanim who are in charge of the Chatas Viola, which under normal circumstances is no big rush, they can postpone that until right before Shkia. But here they have to make sure that those Korbanos are brought before the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. So we need a Beis Din to supervise that and guarantee that this Karbon, meaning the Karbon of Chatos V'Ola of the Mechusa Kapar, was brought on the Mizbeach before the Kohen went ahead and shechted the Karbon Pesach on behalf of this Mechusa Kapar. For that we need a supervisory committee, and that's going to be the Beis Din Shulkar. Okay, Shkoich, I think that's a solid pshat in this Tosfos. The bottom line is we don't know where Rav Shmaya holds as far as this machlokas, this gigantic machlokas here between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman. According to the Re, we cannot commit him one way or the other. Rabbeinu Tam says he's committed to Rav Nachman. He's forced to introduce the Beis Din. Omer Rav Sheshes mino amidile, this Sanya. Okay, now we're going to learn a little bit about a shliach for Hafroshas Maser. Now, again, I went through this sugya, I'm missing one, again, as usual, I'm missing one piece of the puzzle. So I'm hoping that somehow we'll figure it out. Because I'll tell you what I can't understand here in this sugya. There's an engineering problem that I have here. It's just a very technical problem. The Gemara is going to ask, if I give you permission to go ahead and harvest some of my dates, my figs actually, to be more precise, can you assume that I was Mafrish Truma and Meiser? And I can't understand, where is the window in time over here? Because the man, you know, let's say there's Reuven. Reuven says to Shimon, Laketa estei noscha, you know, go ahead and pluck the dates. And the question is, Reuven as the owner of the field realizes that Shimon, who's going to pluck the dates and eat them, pluck the figs and eat them, is relying on him, so to speak, the balabayas. Reuven now becomes, so to speak, a shliach on behalf of the invitee, you know, the person who was invited to eat these tainim, to be mafrish maser and remove these tevel. And the Gemara is going to get into the whole question of Chaver. Is he Namoretz? Is he a Talmud Chacham? And can you rely that he did it? Can he not rely and did it? The whole sugi. But I just didn't understand the technical mechanics of it, because I can't be Mafrish Maser on something that's still attached to the ground. And now I'm sending him. I mean, take a look. It says, the word laket means to pluck the figs off the tree. And ochel mehen. And now the guy is eating from them. So what happened in the 5 minutes between lakita and achila? Again, there's a lot of different nuances and variables here, whether he's allowed to eat achilas haroi, achilas keva, the whole 9 yards. Okay, we'll try to get through that. But when exactly was the hafrosha? What?
He's allowed to eat them before hafrosha.
Well, let's go through the different cases of the braisa. There's a resha and there's a sefer. So in the resha, it says, ochel mehen haroi, which means that since there was no kvius for truvus and maisrus, then the halach is midarais, it's not tevel, and the rabbanon say you're allowed to eat achilas haroi. Okay, fine. Now we get to the case where he eats an achilas keva. Okay, it says in the resha ma'asron vadai. What does that mean? That the invitee, the malaket, Shimon, now has a situation where, since he's eating an achilas keva, you know, he's eating these figs in the context of a su'uda, you know, with a pas and everything else. Therefore, he has to assume that there was no afrosh. Why? So this has to do with the fact that the balabayas did not specify what volume of figs he's allowing him to eat. That's the ratio. Since he didn't specify, then we should derive the conclusion that he, the balabayas, would rely totally on the malaket, if I can call it that, on Shimon, to be mafresh. If he's eating an achilas haroi, that's fine. But if he wants to eat an achilas keva, then there's no way that he should assume that the balabais was mafrish, and it's vade tevel, so he has a vade chiyuv of mas. Otherwise, he's eating tevel. Now we get to the sefer. This is what maybe I shouldn't have asked my question prematurely, because I'm almost ready for my, again, it's just a technical question. It's not a conceptual question. We get to the sefer. The sefer is Malelecha Kalkola Zu B'te'enim Mitei Nosi. Here the whole picture changes. Since he specifies, he meaning the Balabais, specifies a precise volume of figs, Kalkola Zu, he gives him a basket, let's say the basket has a capacity, I'm just saying, of one bushel. So the Baal HaBayis knows that the Malakeh, Shimon, is going to take a basket's worth, a bushel's worth of Te'enu. In such a case, Ochel Mehem, he's allowed to eat from them. Again, we're going to get into the details of Aroi and Keva. But as we'll soon see, the premise of the Sefer, and this is going to be Rav Sheshis' whole proof that he's standing on, is that the Malakeh, the Shimon guy, could rely on his, so to speak, Shliach, who's now, in this case, the Baal HaBayis, to have been Mafrish Mas. If the Baal HaBayis is an Amoretz, then it has to do with the laws of Demai. Because maybe, but if he's a Talmud Chacham, and he's telling the guy a specific volume to pick up, then the assumption is that the Talmud Chacham would have been Mafrish Maser on his behalf. And then the Gemara is going to get into an issue of Shalom Min HaMukaf, and, you know, what would the Baal HaBayis, if he was a Talmud Chacham, what Cheshbon would he make? Would he rather violate Shalom Min HaMukaf, or would he rather, Chas V'Shalom, set up a situation where the Malakeh might eat Tevel? And we're going to have one Mandi Omer in the Gemara that's going to say that it's Nishke Ferlech, okay, he was Mafri Shalom and Amukah, but that's what we should tell him to do, because that's not critical, you know, L'chatchila, that's not what we do, as we get into it, you know, to be Mafrish from one place to another, but it's okay. And in this case, for sure it's okay, because otherwise, this Malakeh is going to rely on you that you are Mafrish Maser, and in fact you weren't Mafrish Maser, because you didn't want to be Mafrish Shalom and Amukah. And you'll be machshil him in an isa tevel d'oraisa. So in such a case, Rav Sheshis says that we can rely on the Baal HaBayis that he was mafrish maser to remove the chashash that maybe someone would rely on him. In this case, the Malakeh would rely on him and eat tevel. And if he's a Talmud Chacham, this Baal HaBayis, we can rely on him. And would that prove, therefore, says Rav Sheshis, that Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichus. So again, I'm just, we haven't gotten into the Ovi Asugi yet, but just Milamala, you know, it's from the top. So I just the thing that bothers my mind is that the earliest time to be Mafrish Maser is after Lakita. You can't be Mafrish Maser on Mechubar. That's meaningless. So I'm just wondering, is there a 5-minute window between the actual Maisa Lakita and the moment of Achila, when this so-and-so relied on the Baal HaBayis that he was Mafrish, and therefore he went ahead and he's allowed under certain circumstances to rely on the Shliach, on the Baal HaBayis that he was Mafrish, in that 5-minute window. That was the thing that bothered me, exactly how you implement this Hafrosh. Okay, as we go through the details, keep that question in the back of your mind. And maybe we can solve that problem. So now, Male Lecha Kalkola Zu Te'ena Mite Nasi. So he tells him exactly what volume of Te'ena he should pluck from the field. Is Ochel Mehen Aroi. In other words, once again, as we saw in the Reisha, there's no problem of Achilas Aroi, because again, this is before he was Kovea the peros, right? He has not taken them into the house yet, or into a chotzer, right? And you know, to be koveh, you need meruach and you need rias pnei abayis. You know, there are whole system and stages, one after the other, conditions until it's koveh lemaser. And if it's not koveh lemaser, it's not tevel d'oraisa. So the rabbanon said you're allowed to eat an achilas aroi. And now he wants to eat an achilas keva. So now the Mishnah says, the Bryce actually, ma'asron d'mai, that the chiyuv here of hafrosha, as we impose it on the malakeh, right, the invitee, as I call him, invitee, whatever you call it, is only d'mai. In other words, it's safek tevel. It's not like the Reisha. In the Reisha, it says Ma'asron Vadai, which means that for sure it's Tevel. If you want to eat Achilas Keva, then Midoraisa, he's got a problem of Tevel, he has to be Mafrish Mas. But in the Sefer, since it was Kalkola, and in the case of Kalkola, we're going to at least raise the possibility that the Balabayas was Mafrish, therefore it's Demai. So we have a chashash whether the Balabayas is relied upon in this case, and he was Mafrish, and therefore this Malakit, if he asks the rabbi, am I allowed to eat these figs from the Kalkola, from the basket, on my table, together with my, you know, my spelt bread, you know, it's a kavius suda. So we'll tell him he better be mafrish mi suffik. Okay, so now the Brisa says, Bamedvar Amurim, when is this afrosha suffik? That's Bama Oretz. The Balatena, who owns the field of figs, is an Ama Oretz. So we don't know if he was so makbid and he was mafrish mas or not. And therefore, we're stuck with a suffek, and that's called d'mai. Whenever you have a suffek, whether you chayv maser or not, and you mafresh mi suffek, that's called d'mai. If the balabais were a Talmud Chacham, and he's not chashud, we don't suspect him to put the malakate, the receiver, into such a vulnerable position, that's called a chaver, is ochel v'eino tzarch li'aser. The malakeit has no doubt he could totally rely on the balabas that he was mafresh, divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe means that the paramount principle here, the overriding principle is don't under any circumstance expose the malake to the possibility that he might eat tevel. You better do whatever you have to do, Mr. Balabais, to guarantee that this malake will not violate an isur tevel. Even though it may entail a little bit of a sacrifice on your behalf, you're going to have to violate another prohibition, which is a much less severe prohibition, that's called Hafrosha Shelo Mina Mukaf, which means that in my model of the 5-minute window, during that 5 minutes, the Balabayas is going to find other Te'enim back in the field, which are Tevel, and he'll take off Maser from that Tevel onto the Te'enim in the Kalkola, meaning the Te'enim of the Malakit. That's called Afrosha Shelo Mina Mukaf. That's a no-no. But that no-no is not critical, and if you are Mafrish Shelo Mina Mukaf, we recognize the Afrosha, and you have no choice, my good friend, my Chaver. You have to guarantee that he will not be eating Tevel because of you. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Bamedvam Amurim Biyama Oretz, Aval Bechaver, Eino Ochel Ad Shia Aser. In other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the Malakit has to assume Vadai, that it's Tevel. Lefi Shalom Nechshedu Chaverim Licho Shalom in Amukov. That there's no way that you can cast an aspersion on the kashrus, the religious piety of the owner of the field, lest he would be mafrish alo min amukov. And in this case, there's no way that he could have been mafrish unless it was shalom min amukov. Why? Because the malakit is holding on to freshly plucked figs, which he places into a basket. And where is the afrasha? It's got to be a long distance afrasha. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's by the way the father of Rebbe, that there's no way, no how, that the Chaver, who owns the field would have violated this Isur of being mafresh shalom in a mukaf. He just, it's not on his radar screen. It never entered, the thought never crosses his mind to be mafresh shalom in a mukaf. Therefore, my friend Mr. Malake, you have to know that you have tevel. And if you're eating a suda kvua, then you better be mafresh b'toras vada. Amar Rebbe, and it's interesting, Rebbe disagreeing with his father, Nirim Dvarai mi Divrei Ava. I mean, again, you'll have the old literature here, how can you disagree with your father? You know, it's Mora Av means Shalo, Yachrish is Aviv, but again, in Torah, we have different rules and regulations. So, my approach is more logical than my father's approach. And my father is assuming that for sure the Baal HaBayis would not be mafrish because he would be violating shalom in Amukov. And the reason why I have absolute certainty that the Baal HaBayis would have been mafrish, despite the fact that it's shalom in Amukov, is mutav sheichashto chaverim litrum shalom in Amukov lo yachilu lamaretz tvol. Right, we have a triage situation here. You have two possibilities, which is better and which is worse. You can either violate shalom in Amukaf and spare the Amoritz from eating tevel, or you can insist, ich bin at tzadik, you know, I'm very pious, I'm not going to be mafresh shalom in Amukaf, and this guy, who's an Amoritz, he's not going to be mafresh, he's going to eat tevel d'oraisa. So Rebbe says, in such a crossroads, in such a decision, there's no question that the Baal HaBayis, If, and certainly if he would ask the rabbi what to do, he would go ahead and be mafresh shalom min amukav. Says the Gemara, this is Rav Sheshi's argument, ad kan lo pligi, the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the marsav, according to Rebbe, nechshedu chaverim litrom shalom min amukav. In this circumstance, even a chaver would be mafresh shalom min amukav. Umar Sover, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, that's not a possibility. It's not on his race. Lo nechshedu, a chaver would never be mafresh shalom min amukav. Aval kuli alma, everybody agrees that certainly we could rely on the Baal HaBayis. If it wasn't an issue of shalom min amukav, even Reb Shimon ben Gamliel would agree that the malakate would rely totally, ruyik, he could be calm, that the Baal HaBayis was mafresh, and the answer is, because chazoka shliach osa shlichuso, and the Baal HaTeina is considered like the shliach, who is effectuating a frushes trumas of maestros on behalf of the malakate. And the reason he's doing so is because he's giving over his fruits to the malakate, and he has to guarantee that he will fulfill his shlichus on behalf of the malakate and make sure that the trumas of maestros were removed, so that, chas v'shom, heaven forbid, this malakit should not violate an isur tevel. And now, says Rav Sheshes, we're dealing with the doraisa, the chi of hafrosha, to remove the isur tevel is min haTorah, and we're going to rely on the shliach again. The only reason why Rav Shimon Gamliel moves back in this case, right, he holds back, is because of shalom min amukav. But other than shalom and amukav, for sure, there's no question that the malakit could rely totally in the middle of his sleep. He could rely on the Baal HaTeina that he would be mafresh. Says Gemara Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is not impressed with this raya. Why? Hasam. The reason why was somech on the Baal HaTeina that he was mafresh, kidrab chanina chozah. That's based on the overarching principle of Rav Chanina, which takes us beyond Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichuso. Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichuso is a very nice assumption. You know, a guy is a tzaddik and he told you he commits himself to fulfill your agency as you asked him. Okay, yeah. But, you know, Knapper tzaddik, you know, He got diverted. His attention was, he had a million things on his table, and he forgot to be Mekayim the Shlichus. Kenzai? But here's a different story. I am sending you peros, and you're assuming that they were already mufrash. Is that something different? Chazok al chover she'eno motzi dover she'eno mesukon mitachas yodo. These peros belong to the bala te'eno, the owner of the fig tree. And he has a responsibility to make sure that no one will get access and might, heaven forbid, eat from his fruits without being mafrish trumas and maestros. This already comes under the iser of lifnei iver lo sitein michshal. Anyone who's relying on you is like an iver, and you're putting a michshal, an impediment, and you're causing them to violate the Torah. That's a separate responsibility, and no chaver would ever, chas v'shalom, violate that responsibility. And we mentioned yesterday that there are many different kinds of testimonies that we rely on from people who technically are not qualified, but because of this cheskas chaver, we'll rely on them. And that nemanus might even go beyond the nemanus of two eidim. So, for example, if a shochet tells he shechted properly, it could be that if two eidim will testify, no, it was a disqualified shechita, we would still rely on the shochet. Because cheskas chaver is not just a psychological chazoka. You know, let's assume most people wear white hats and he's wearing a black hat. Most people, you know, the whole issue of pregnancy, whether we assume she gave birth after 9 months or not, you know, all these kinds of chazokas and roves that have a certain reliability, but it's not 100%. And there's always a mute, you know, some sort of minority possibility. You know, you got distracted and so forth and so on. But not so in the case of cheskas chaver. So it's interesting, we now, to summarize, have two scenarios in which Rav Nachman concedes to Rav Sheshes. One is a bezdin shel kohanim, and that's totally reliable. And the second is a cheskas chaver. Now the Gemara goes back to the Braisa about the Bala Te'eno. Omar Mar, it says in the Braisa of Medvur Mamurim Biyama Oretz, Avo Bechover Ochel V'en Entzoch Li'aser Divrei Rebbe. Now the Gemara has what I call like a dangling modifier. You know, you have a phrase in the Braisa and you're not sure what it's referring to. Hi, those two words, Ama Oretz, Dika Omar Le'Laman. Right, Rebbe in the Braisa mentions an Amma Oretz. And it seems like he's referring to the Baal HaTe'ena. He is the Amma Oretz. And now the question is whether the Malachite relies on the Baal HaTe'ena to have been Mafrish. And Rebbe says that we cannot rely if the Baal HaTe'ena is an Amoritz. But let's shift our focus now for a moment on the Malachite. Rebbe didn't seem to use this term Amoritz to describe the Malachite. And the first reading of the Braisa would indicate that the words Amoritz in Rebbe's formulation were referring to the Balabais, the Balatein. Can we possibly suggest Ilema de Ka'omar Liyama Oretz Chavre? That when Rebbe used the term Ama Oretz here in this price, he was referring not just to the Balatein, but also to the Malachic. I mean, these are two good buddies. And if one is an Ama Oretz, chances are good that the other is an Ama Oretz. I mean, I'm just adding that to the Gemara. So if we're going to assume that the Malachite, who's getting this, you know, free ticket, what do they call it, what do they call that thing that you get a certain amount of money that you could spend, very often we give it as a birthday gift, what's it called? It's at the tip of my tongue. A free coupon or something like that.
A voucher.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So, to whom do you give a voucher? The Balatain is giving a voucher of a Kalkola Shel Peros to a friend of his. And maybe Rebbe, when he uses the term Ama Oretz, he's referring both to the Balatain and also to the person who's receiving the voucher. So he says, Ilema Dekoma Li Ama Oretz Chavre is then Ma'asron D'mai. This is a funny kind of phrase. We're talking to the Malake, who himself is an Amoritz, and we're telling him that since he doesn't know whether or not the Baal HaTe'enu is Mafrish, therefore what he's got in front of him in this Kalkola Shel Peros is Demai. Mitzayas. We're telling him to be Mafrish Demai. I mean, the whole reason why the Rabbanon enacted the requirement of Hafroshes Meiser in Demai is because the Amoritz is choshed that he was not Mafrish. He couldn't care less. And now you're telling him to be Mafrish from Demai. I mean, the whole reason why we're Mafrish in Demai is because the Amoritz is not listening to us. Ella, but rather by fallback position, it's the Amoritz the Komer Le'lechaver. So the Amoritz owns the Te'ena, and the voucher is being transferred over to a chaver. So if we tell him it's Dmai, he won't eat it without being mafresh. How are you going to work that through the sefer? Amos sefer. Now we're going to read the sefer, the Brisa. And the Brisa says, with regard to a Baal HaTe'ena, in a case where he's a chaver, is Omar Rebbe. Rebbe says, Nirim divrei dvarai mi divrei abba, mutav sheichoshtu chaverim litrom shalom in amukav v'al yachilo li'ama oretz tvolim. In other words, the chaver, that's the owner of the Tena, according to Rebbe, he'll make that cheshmin, and it'll be mafish shalom in amukav. Why? Because he doesn't want to be mafish li'ama oretz. Is ama oretz my boy awesome? Who's talking about an ama oretz? We prove from the Reisha that the case is where the voucher is being transferred over to a chaver. Otherwise, he's not going to be impressed by the laws of Demai. Amar Avina. Ravina says you have to split between the Reisha and the Seif. You have no choice. Reisha b'ma'oretz sha'omar lechaver v'seifa b'chaver sha'omar li'ama'oretz. So we're going to have to split between the Reisha and the Sefer. Let's just see, what is Reisha and what is Sefer, in the words of Ravina. The Reisha, which is what we actually had used the term Sefer, but anyway, the Reisha is the case where the Baal HaTe'ena turns to the voucher receiver, right? To the Malakid, and he says to him, Malei Kalkola Zu B'Te'enim V'Yachol. Now, in such a case, the Baal HaTe'ena is an Ama Oretz, and we can't rely on him to have been Mafrish. The Malakid who received this go-ahead, he himself is a Chaver. And when you tell him that he should not be sure and rely on the Baal HaTe'ena to have been Mafrish, because the Baal HaTe'ena unfortunately is an Ama Oretz, he will certainly oblige and live up to that mandate of being Mafrish from Demai. Now we get to the Sefer. In the Sefer, Rebbe makes the following following qualification. He says, "Bamed dvarim amurim b'yama oretz sha'omar lechaver, avol chaver sha'omar li'acher, eino maser klal." That in a case where the Baal HaTe'ena is a chaver, then the recipient does not have to be mafresh at all. That's a case of chaver sha'omer le'ama oretz. It's a different scenario. And since the ama oretz is telling since the chaver is telling the ama oretz to be mamalei kalkola te'enim, therefore, he's got a guarantee that he's not being machshil the Amoretz with Tevel. So then we assume that he would go ahead and be mafresh. Now, Ravina adds another element in the equation. He says, "The Adam Chaver Acher Shomo." There was another Chaver who overheard the instructions of the right. The instructions of the Chaver to go ahead and take a basket and fill it up with Te'enim. And now the Amoretz, after he fills up the basket with Te'enim, he wants to offer some of his Te'enim to the Chaver. And Rebbe holds that Chaver could actually eat those Te'enim. And here we turn to Lamed Beis. Rebbe Sover, Oso Chaver, the Chaver overheard the instructions of the Bala Te'ena, who was a Chaver to the Alma Arts, to fill up the basket. Ochel, he can eat even B'derek Keva, V'yeno Tzoch Li'aser, Devadai Yisur Mi'aser, Ha'hu Chaver Kamei Luye. There's no question, says Rebbe, that the Chaver who owns the Te'ena, he owns the fig tree, would certainly have been Mafrish for these figs, in order not to be machshel yama oretz in achilas tevel. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer lo yochal. This chaver who overhears it should not eat from it ad shiya aser, until such time as he's mafrish himself. Lefish lo nechshu chaver litrom shalom min amukaf. Omalei Rebbe mutav shiyachshedu chaverim litrom shalom min amukaf v'al yachileu liyama oretz tvol. Rebbe Sovar Nichole Lechaver. What does the Chaver prefer to do in this situation? You know, you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. He says the lesser of the two evils, if he wants to do damage control, is Dele'evidu Isura Klila. He'll violate a lesser Isur, which has no lav, it has no onshim, no malchus, that's called hafrashas truma shalom min amukav. The lola avid, and not heaven forbid, to violate a terrible sin of lifnei iver, li avid amoretz yisura rabba. And the amoretz, because the balabais shied away from being mafresh, is going to eat tevel doraisa. That's a terrible situation. You know, if you eat tevel, you chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Rav Shim Gamliel Sover Nichole Lechaver Deliyevet Amoretz Isura Rabba Ve'iyu Afilu Isura Klila Lo Ov Liav. This is very strange. I mean, in a certain sense, Rav Shim Gamliel is saying Chayecha Kodmin, like Rabbi Akiva says L'Chayecha Vercha. You have to be selfishly concerned with your own spiritual, religious, pious life, and therefore let the Amoretz violated an Isa Rabba, which is an Isa Chamur of Achilas Tevel, but he himself is Afilu Isura Klila Lov, and he's not going to violate even an Isa Kal like being Mafrish Shalom Min Amukav. Okay, so this is where we're going to stop here on Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the top one. We're up to the Mishnah, which is about 12 lines down and 15 lines down from the top.